up call.
This is Wake Up Call,
another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
And a good morning to you. Happy Monday. It is Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio. The draft is in the books for the NFL. Some things we'd liked. Some things we did not like in the new broadcast format that they had to go through because of the coronavirus. Listen, there's some things that I think the NFL should take away from this weekend that they could use in future broadcasts. But remember, you know, we're not going away from the party. It's going to be in Cleveland and Las Vegas and any other place in America that this thing lands. That's always going to be what the NFL wants to showcase. This was a temporary thing, but it didn't mean that there aren't some angles to what we saw with this technology that we can't use in future drafts and future broadcasts. I think a lot of stuff worked. There are some stuff that if I'm reevaluating this, if I'm in the technical department of either the NFL or ESPN, NFL Network, wherever, did I look at and say, you know what, guys, this worked a lot better when we did it this way, or a lot better when we did it this way. Is there any way we can sort of hybrid the big celebratory party that we're going to have in these cities with still staying with this technology to incorporate it to make the broadcast better? I think there are. I think there are more cameras in prospects' homes that are not going to be on your stage in whatever city you're going to be in Cleveland next year. I loved that aspect of it, getting into the homes, getting in with the families. I think there are better angles to do this. I think you can find some corporate sponsors that are going to put these setups more so that you can have these more humanized moments. I have to give my props to the IT teams who put this all together, because there wasn't these huge snafus, huge problems throughout the broadcast. And I didn't watch all Saturday, Friday night, and all of Saturday, but whenever I did watch, and I watched a lot of it, I saw it go smoothly, and that's when you put the best minds to it to say, look, let's make sure it looks like a real television show, not something that we have to put together because of the circumstance. I think if you had that broadcast and you showed it to somebody 25 years from now who did not know the circumstances, they would know something wasn't right, but they wouldn't know really the dire circumstances we were in. This really did look good, and that's a prop to everybody, props to everyone that was involved in setting that up. But we'll get to more analysis coming up next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And again, thanks for joining us as we continue along on a Monday as we get the post-analysis of the NFL draft this weekend. There's a thing I like to call the Bob Ross effect, you know, the painter, which is sometimes I see something and I get blown away by it. Like, how in the world did they do that? How amazing is this? And then I realize, oh, maybe it's more simple than I realize. Like, I see a painting and I go, look at that. It's a house and trees by a lake. And look, there's a reflection on the lake. My God, how do they even do that? And then Bob Ross comes along and goes, oh, you just take your brush, boop, 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 and slap, slap, slap. There's a tree. There's a house. There's a lake.
There's a happy little tree.
There's a happy little tree. And you're like, holy cow, that's a lot easier than I thought it was. Oh, my God, like you're letting me into the secret of how you created such brilliant art.
Although, I still could not do what Bob Ross does.
Oh, I couldn't either. If you gave me a canvas and all the paints and the brushes and right there followed them along on the video, my painting wouldn't come anywhere close to the level he's got.
It would look like a preschooler did it.
Right, exactly.
I'll be completely honest.
So when I'm amazed at something, like I get blown away by things like, oh, my God, I sometimes it takes like a computer person to go, well, it's not as right. Complicated as you're making it out to be. For example, when the draft had all of those windows and all of those, you know, people and, you know, hitting all these different, you know, like we're going to Lewis Riddick now and we're going to this guy now. And I'm like, that's amazing. And I know how television works. So I know the complications behind it. I was just impressed how amazingly smooth it looked, how amazingly smooth it ran from just the production element. For, you know, producers saying, we're going to camera one, going to camera two, we're going to this guy, we're going to that guy.
Yep.
That I understood.
Just the technology
of keeping everything on, keeping everything ready and available was amazing to me.
I have a feeling the producers are having a meeting today, and then they're taking like a month off.
Right. All the work that they put in to putting that together.
That was impressive. One thing I'm curious about, I haven't heard about it. I'm hoping the Detroit Lions IT guy was able to go home safely.
I hope so, too, and get some sleep and get some rest.
Yep.
Make sure he was there, right?
I mean, did he have to stay there the entire time? Like, once the draft ended on Friday night, was he able to go home? Or did he have to stay in the driveway?
Yeah, right. Well, I hope he went home every night and just said, I'll bring the Winnebago back. But, in case your internet plops and I can't,
Because I don't think he was needed.
Right,
might have been overkill.
There's a couple of things about the draft, right? Look, did I miss the large crowds? Yeah, it's a party, and I think it should be a party, and the booze.
The Roger Goodell calling for the booze didn't work for me.
Yeah, it's, I would much rather
just the booze come.
So I like what the NFL does with this traveling road show, because as I've said many times, and a lot of people, feel the same way, I think this is the NFL fan convention, right? It's just a way people can get together. They party for a few days. They watch the draft. They hang out with people who root for the same team. They meet new friends. It's a great experience. The players being on site, lifting Roger Goodell, picking him up when they're drafted, being excited, wearing the hat, hoisting up the jersey. They're never going to get rid of those the way that is presented. That's what you want. If you're holding a draft, that's what you want. You don't want Joe Burrow waving to fans on his couch in Athens, Ohio. You want him on site because you want him to meet the media. You want him to wave to the fans. You want the picture of Goodell handing him a Bengals jersey, and the Bengals want a picture of them hoisting up a Bengals jersey. You want all those optics. But you know what? Like I was saying earlier, why in the third round? Let's have some more home cameras in prospects' homes. We don't have to do interviews with them, but let's see them with their moms and dads in round four and five, and just go, look at that. The tackle from Penn State is going to Kansas City.
I think moving forward, they absolutely need to have the reaction videos.
Yeah, right.
They were fantastic.
They were fantastic.
We chastised the NFL earlier for, let's throw up every tragic story imaginable. But the flip side of it, I love the fact that they went to all these, everyone's phone.
Yeah, right.
I mean, maybe it wasn't live. Maybe it was, hey, we have submit me the video as soon as you have it. I love these kids realizing their dreams is so much fun to watch.
Yeah, and I think there's also another element that was missing is, look, the general managers being at home and not, obviously the team facilities being shut down, a reporter at the team facilities just getting the feel for what's the buzz in the building amongst, I thought that that's an important element that was missing. Having gone to team facilities in the past to be in the building at the time, there is a buzz, there is a mood. You can sense when a player is off the board. So when I was covering the Broncos, you would get a feeling like, all right, they want these players. And then they would be picking like 20th in the draft or whatever it was. And they'd be like, that guy went off the board a lot earlier than they thought. Or that player went off the board way sooner than they thought. These players are still available. When you're on site, you get a feel for it. They don't exactly come out and say, we're really disappointed that John Smith was taken in the 14th pick by the Baltimore Ravens. We're going to reassess everything. But you do, being on site, you do get a feel like, they're really disappointed. They're really upset about that. You can feel it throughout the building. That's a cool aspect to it. When you got guys who are really plugged into the Cowboys or the Giants or the Patriots or whatever, that's a cool aspect to the draft that was missing. But that being said, did you feel like at any point in this draft that you were not, as a fan, you weren't getting the necessary information that you'd want from a player because this format had to be given to you rather than in years past?
No, in fact, we said it earlier. We were getting too much information.
I think we were getting too much information.
Like, I don't need to know about his, fifth cousin who passed away at the age of one.
Right,
I really don't need to know that.
And I think that was the better part of the broadcast over the weekend was, the necessity of ESPN and the NFL and the prospects and their representatives to give content to this draft, to say, let's find out a little bit more, because we're not getting the normal fluff that goes with the draft that is filling your time. You know, look, that's not to say that in the third round, Mel Kiper isn't losing his mind because an offensive tackle is still on the board.
We got that.
We got plenty of that. That was, of course, we're going to get that every year.
Honestly, I think the big thing we were missing, and this is what you had said, was just, you know, fan reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love watching Jets fans go ballistic over, why did we choose that guy?
Right,
you know,
exactly.
They've been doing that ever since the draft was held at Radio City Music Hall.
It would have been nice to see Eagles fans when Jalen Hurts was picked. Like, wait a minute, where is this? What are we thinking about this? Where is this coming from?
I guess we're done with Carson Wentz.
Right.
He can't win playoff games. That's because he doesn't play in them.
Now, listen, I want an explanation, right? And I want an explanation about the Jalen Hurts pick by the Eagles, right? I want to know the thought process behind it, because if you're going down there, if you have Carson Wentz locked into what, 2024, I think is his last contract.
Yeah.
So you got him locked into 2024, 2025, one of those years. So if you go out and get Jalen Hurts on a team that won a Super Bowl with a backup, but that's not the goal here, right? That's not the goal with the pick. The pick to take Jalen Hurts is not so that he'll take over when Carson Wentz is hurt and they'll continue a Super Bowl run. That was one of those anomalies in sports that is a great story, but that's not how you do business. Your business is, we want our starting quarterback to be as healthy as possible and surround him with talent so we win with him. But even if you're saying you're the Eagles and you understand the value of a backup quarterback, fine, I'll buy it. I get it. Cam Newton is still available. Jameis Winston is working on a deal with the Saints, but he was available, right? Andy Dalton is going to be available.
Yep.
There are experienced professional quarterbacks that you could have tapped in a backup role rather than drafting a kid that is supposed to take over.
Or, you know, go the other route, like I said during the break. You can go after Luke Falk,
why not?
He has experience playing in the NFL now.
Why not?
You know, maybe grab an XFL quarterback, because they're out of jobs.
Right. They're all looking for gigs.
That one didn't make, because to me, Jalen, I mean, I'm certain Jalen Hurts sat there and he heard his name called, like, wait, why?
Yeah, wait.
I wanted to go to a team where I could compete to be a starter.
That's the one thing I always wonder with guys when they're drafted like that. Like you're Jordan Love, for example, right? And people are talking about you as a possible first round pick. So you're excited. Now, don't get me wrong. He's excited to be drafted. I get it. But does his camp go, well, I kind of thought I'd be in, you know, I could compete for the starting job. Like, if I'm really good, I could actually compete right away. Or does he go, oh my God, I got to sit behind one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time for 2 years? Would think they would love that, but at the same time, because they want to play.
The Colts drafting, did the Colts draft Jacob Eason? Or was it Jake Fromm?
Jake Fromm. Was that the Colts who drafted Jake Fromm?
Well, I know the Colts drafted a quarterback. It was either Jacob Eason or Jake Fromm, like in the third or fourth round.
They did. Oh, Jacob Eason.
Jacob
Eason. Washington. Yeah.
That one made all the sense in the world.
Sure. Exactly.
Because, hey, you brought Phillip Rivers in. You know, Phillip Rivers maybe will last a year, maybe two. So now you have a guy who's going to sit on the bench who had a pretty good college career, decent college career, that can study from Phillip Rivers and, you know, study that competitiveness. And that one makes sense. Just real quick, Carson Wentz's contract. He becomes an unrestricted free agent in 2025.
2025, okay.
In 2024, the Eagles probably could get rid of him because his dead cap hit is $6 million.
Oh,
they could
probably
could cut him at that point, and it wouldn't hurt them too much.
So if they like Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, because before that, oh God, it's expensive.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, he has a potential out in 2022 after 3 years, but the dead cap hit would be $24.5 million.
Speaking of Jake Fromm real quick, he went to the Buffalo Bills. That was another confusing one. That was like, all right, look, and if you're going to get Jake Fromm in round five, fine. That's fantastic. Okay, great. But still, Jake Allen is your young buck quarterback for the future. Josh Allen is your young buck quarterback for the future. It's not like he's 33, right? And you bring it – and. This is how bad I can get sometimes. I thought Jake Fromm was a third round at the least pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
I didn't think Jake Fromm was a first-round pick, not by any means, but I was sure he'd go by round three. And apparently I was not only wrong, but I was way wrong.
Yeah, I was he goes
in round five. Not only is he going round five, he goes 22nd in round five.
Yeah.
So I was way off. I thought Fromm had the necessary skills to be a fine quarterback in the next. He's a little small. He's like 6'1 or something, 6'1 and a half. He's a little small, but I thought he was going to go at least by round three. So, but that's how some of that SEC blindness can get to you, Ron Culver. It can get to you. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Hey, don't forget Good, the Bad, and the Dumb. It's coming up this hour, so you don't want to miss that. More on Twitter and more of your tweets coming up, as well as more draft analysis as we dissect the 3 days that was the extravaganza of the NFL draft on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is SB Nation Radio, Good, the Bad, and the Dumb. That is coming up in just a couple of minutes. You don't want to miss that, but when your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop. So don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will help test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. So make sure your vehicle is prepared for this weather ahead. Getting a battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Speaking of Jake Fromm, so this is why I was bullish on Jake Fromm, despite the fact that he's a little short. He's like, again, about 6'1", 6'1". They have listed at 6'2", but I think he's like 6'1", 6'1 and a half. Doesn't have a tremendous arm strength, but he's one of the most successful quarterbacks at Georgia. And I just thought that would translate nicely into a third round pick. He left after his junior season to go do this. But then I thought back, well, Matt Stafford was a successful quarterback at Georgia, and he was a number one overall pick. Then you had Aaron Murray, and I have no idea what ended up happening to him. He was a quarterback at Georgia. Hines Ward once threw some passes at Georgia back in the day before he was became a wide receiver. So maybe I was overthinking Jake Fromm's amazing success at the University of Georgia as a quarterback in Athens, translating it to NFL-level caliber. But he's going to the Buffalo Bills. Well, he'll sit behind another youngster and wait out his turn to get under center.
All right. That's real quick, because I was curious about Aaron Murray, too, because he was a kid who had a lot of records in Georgia.
Yeah.
I guess he's a college football color commentator for the CBS News or CBS Sports Network.
Oh, is he? So he's out of but, he's not even bouncing around the league as a clipboard holder.
Nah, the last team he was on was the Tampa Bay Vipers.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He was in the XFL.
That's right.
That is correct. That's right. I should have remembered that.
You should have. But I mean,
Hudson Mason, our good friend Hudson Mason, was a quarterback at Georgia.
Yeah, there you go.
Another one of those fine bulldog signal callers.
Yeah, the last time Aaron Murray was in the NFL was 2017.
Was it with the Eagles?
Well, no, he signed with the Rams. this is how you know it's bad. He signed with the Rams on March 23rd, 2017, and then was waived by the Rams May 11th, 2017.
What a
last 2 months.
What a wake-up call that league's got to be. Oh, Quincy Carter. Michael points out on Twitter, Quincy Carter. That's another one I was thinking about. Yep, Quincy Carter. You know what it is? Look, you go to these schools, right? And like Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, Michigan. I mean, you can name a big schools, but I'm staying more like Southeast. You're just on another level of fame and popularity, right? I mean, you just, everything is handed to you. You're the king of that area. You're the starting quarterback of the football team everyone's loving and dying for. And you got this life of Riley. And the NFL, just like the NBA, can be this gigantic wake-up call where you just get like, boom, it's gone, and you're bouncing around. And granted, don't get me wrong, a backup quarterback makes very good money in this league. If you can do that for 10 years, you're going to make a nice living and have money in the bank. You're going to have nice, you know, you're going to be fine. But that's not the point. The point is living up to a level of expectation or a lifestyle that you get as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old living on these campuses. And you go to the NFL and you turn into bouncing around. You can't find, you can't stay with a team, can't hang on with a team. It's an amazing, and it's not just quarterbacks. It's really anybody, right, that's had success and fame, a level of notoriety, and then this league can just take you down so far where before you know it, 3 years in, you're like, I'm going into real estate, or I'm going to open a car dealership, or I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm not doing this anymore. And that's what happens. Jake Fromm, if he doesn't figure out his place in this league, he left. And remember, he left after his junior season, right? He had 1 year left where he could have stayed in Athens and been the king of college football again, right? He could have stayed right with Kirby Smart and been the king of college football again. But instead, he's now in this league. He's a fifth round pick for Buffalo. Right now, if Josh Allen stays healthy, when is he going to play? Right? Never. So now what's he hoping for? Oh, maybe he'll get traded to another team. Maybe he'll get a few starts under his belt for another team in year three. And maybe that'll be good enough to earn another contract for a tryout in spring, you know, camp for another team. And he's going to pack up his family and move into another location. And maybe it works out that in 5 years into this league, he lands a starting job and they're doing a piece on him about how persistence really pays off. But what's more likely for him? That or just bounced around the league and eventually just fizzled out and became a commentator, another business, coach, whatever it is. That's more likely for him than the 5 years, man, you really bounced around, look at your journeyman, Kurt Warner type of story. It's more likely that he's going to get burnt out in the NFL system and then disappear forever. And for all of that, granted, paid well if you stay in the league, but he gave up that final year of college ball where he was a major, major important individual in that area, in Georgia, in Athens, in the Bulldog history books. This is one of the reasons I think Peyton Manning, who knew he was going to probably be successful in the NFL, stayed that senior season at Tennessee. You just don't get that back. You never get it back. You can never go home. You might as well milk it for all it's worth as much as you can. Yes, injuries have thwarted potential careers. Marcus Lattimore at South Carolina is one of many. But that moment of playing on a level where it's 100,000 people, 90,000 people, it's Saturday in the South, wherever, or Saturday in the Rust Belt, whatever. It's so, you may not find that level again in your life. And Jake Fromm had it, gave it away, thinking he's going, you know, I'm going to the draft. Where am I going to get? Maybe second round, third round, fifth round to a team that already has a young quarterback. I mean, look, it's not a part of the losers of the draft thing. You know, I don't want to go that far, but it's certain that this is not exactly the way it was designed by his representatives. Why you would give up a senior season at Georgia where you could really start putting your skills in the forefront. Maybe he looked at that class that's coming in with Trevor Lawrence and everybody else said, I don't want to be part of that. Maybe this is the class I can sneak into the third round. But his stock plummeted, just fell down the toilet. And that it's too bad too, because I thought, you know, like I said, I thought he was at least a third round pick to somebody that might need a quarterback, an immediate backup quarterback, or in a situation where he could be the quarterback if their current quarterback struggled or was on thin ice anyway. I don't think Josh Allen is on any thin ice. He runs the ball well. The team went to the playoffs. The team made a push towards the playoffs. You know, they've got a Buffalo team that's really, you know, making strides. Should have beat the Texans in that playoff game. But instead, he's going to a team he may not play. And then he's just going to bounce around. 167th pick in the draft. Is that worth giving up a senior season in Athens for? I don't think so. But, you know, again, it depends. Sometimes it's finances. Sometimes it's coaches. Sometimes it's circumstances we don't know. But sometimes you just go, I just want out of this. I don't want this anymore. I want to become a pro as quickly as possible. I don't want the college life anymore. I want to get paid for this. I see the exploitation of my skills here, and I don't want it anymore. And maybe that's a circumstance too. You know, Herschel Walker felt that way. All right, we're going to get to the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up as well. Then more on the NFL draft. A little bit more from that Jordan documentary as well as we roll along. It is Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. As we roll along, it's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, so good, the bad, and the dumb as we begin this week, Monday edition. So let's get started with the good of the day.
Oh, the good of the day. I got to highlight Saturday Night Live.
Saturday Night Live.
Yes. Two things from Saturday Night Live. One will probably, you might take a little offense to, but we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
Yeah, the first one, though, was a new song that came out.
Okay.
With Pete Davidson and Adam Sandler.
Oh, well done, guys.
And actually, you know what? I watched it, you know, that night, and I watched it again yesterday, and I was like, you know what? This isn't that bad. It's playing in the background here. Basically, it's just, it's called Stuck in the House.
Not bad.
So, you know, I mean, it's just different things that, you know, like when Pete Davidson starts off is talking about, you know, Zoom meetings are terrible. I'm tired of seeing my friends on Zoom meetings. I've ran out of conversations with my family.
Yeah, I've been there.
And then, you know, I mean, it's kind of draws out a little bit. Then Adam Sandler comes in and kind of saves the day.
Oh, very
really
good.
Worth a watch if you want to take a.
Yeah, Sandler songs are fun.
Yeah, this one was really well done.
Okay, very good.
The one part that I think you might take advantage of, well, we all know you do a great Dr. Fauci impression.
Do I? I don't know if I do. I just do the best Dr. Fauci I can.
Now, Dr. Fauci had jokingly said, If any actor was going to portray him on Saturday Night Live, he'd want Brad Pitt.
Yes, I did see that, and I saw Brad Pitt's played him.
And Brad Pitt played. This is basically what the cold open was for Saturday Night Live was Dr. Fauci explaining Trump. So this is Brad Pitt as Dr. Fauci explaining what Trump really meant to say.
Okay,
we have done an incredible job. We're going to continue. It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
A miracle would be great. Who doesn't love miracles? But miracles shouldn't be plan A. Even Sully tried to land at the airport first.
Anybody that needs a test gets a test. They're there. They have the tests. And the tests are beautiful.
Okay. A couple of things. I don't know if I would describe the test as beautiful. Unless your idea of beauty is having a cotton swab tickle your brain.
Nah, that sounds like Brad Pitt doing an impression.
Yes, it does. It does. That's why I was saying, I mean, it was the mannerisms. Obviously, he has a makeup team that can really help him out. That was all on point for him.
What I like about it is Dr. Fauci saying, you know, because listen, if somebody said to me, if I was somehow thrust into a fame level where somebody would say, who would you want to play you? I would say like Tom Cruise, because why wouldn't I? Right.
Yeah, why
I want
not?
The best looking guy in Hollywood to portray me. That's what I would want. Or Tom Hanks, because Tom Hanks does a brilliant job portraying people. But I, you know, I could use some help. So I would want the best looking guy in Hollywood. That was Fauci like. Brad Pitt. Why wouldn't I want Brad? Of course, I'm an old doctor, and I want Brad Pitt to play me. And that's cool that Brad Pitt went, Doctor, yeah. I am absolutely on board playing you in a bit on Saturday Night Live.
And the cool thing was at the end of the little bit, you know, Brad takes off the wig and, you know, and then personally thanks Dr. Fauci for everything he's
done. Yeah, I saw
that
part.
And the
that
first
was good.
Round responders. And I was like, yeah, that's perfect. But yeah, I don't know.
But you got to get the Brooklyn accent in there. You got to get the level of a little, you know, a little New York when you're talking about this disease.
Not
that's what
that,
you got to get. But you got to get that.
But the raspy voice too.
And the raspy voice.
Brad Pitt had no raspy voice.
And so if you're going to talk about Dr. Fauci, you got to make sure you got the accent, the raspy voice, and the little the mannerisms that come from doing something like this. Right.
That's what we're talking about. Come on, Brad.
Right. A little bit like again. Let me make this clear. I don't know if I do a good Dr. Fauci. That's the best Dr. Fauci I can do.
Well, that's the best Dr. Fauci out there, other than Dr. Fauci.
Well, thank you so much. If that's true, I appreciate the love.
I think Brad should give you his Oscar.
You know what, Brad? I will be more than happy to give you any tips if you do this in the future. On how to get a Brooklynized older accent into your dialect.
I mean, it's not Brad's fault, right?
No, he is what he is.
Isn't he from like Kentucky or something?
Yeah, isn't he from didn't he grow up in the I want to look that up.
He can't do Brooklyn accents.
No.
No, people from Kentucky can't do Brooklyn accents. That's I'm right. sorry.
Exactly.
Just like people from California, I can't do a Brooklyn accent. I'm not even going to try.
So, yeah. So, yeah, but good for Brad Pitt for doing it, recognizing an opportunity that's pretty awesome. That's pretty
and given Dr. Fauci his wish.
Yeah, exactly.
Come
He's
on,
working nothing. Really, really hard.
He is working really hard.
And he got Brad. That's an awesome thing to say. Brad Pitt played me in a skit. I just love it.
Is that the highlight of his moment, or will it be finding a vaccine?
Probably finding a vaccine, but you never know. I don't know. It's the
Brad
scale.
Pitt's probably up there.
Brad Pitt's right there. Right there. Right? Be right, you know?
Right.
When the Dr. Fauci story is written, it'll be one of the highlights.
Yeah, when they do the Behind the Medicine.
That's right, when they do Behind the Medicine. Exactly. All right, so what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, okay, a couple of weeks ago when this quarantine life first started off, one of the stories I remember we discussed, and it was in the bad because I didn't want to believe it,
right.
Was that there's going to be a rise of divorces. Remember talked about
right.
that?
Yep.
Well, this could be happening because if Jay Cutler and Kristen Cavallari, they're calling it quits after 10 years.
And I am so disappointed in this. I thought that they had the love that would last the test of time.
You would have thought, right? I mean,
right.
They were quarantining in the Caribbean.
Exactly.
Together.
They got trapped, quote unquote, in the Bahamas, I think, weren't they?
Yeah.
Some island and some resort.
Some island. I mean, if they can't make it work there, how are they going to make it work in the real world?
Exactly.
And so I think that's what's happening. I was severely devastated. I don't know what this is going to do for Jay Cutler's career. Does he go back to football? I mean, does he go back to playing? I mean, he could have been signed by the Eagles instead of them drafting Jalen Hurts.
They have prenups, right? So just
probably.
So,
but
they both got careers.
She's got big bucks.
She's got money, but doesn't mean they won't go after his money.
No, of course, no.
Right, but you know, can you imagine? Like, yeah, I took my wife on a vacation before the quarantine, and all I got was this lousy divorce settlement.
Those t-shirts would be flying off the shelf.
That's terrible. I mean, they were doing a show together. They looked like they were crazy for each other. Been around a long time.
Apparently, there was a rumor last year that her best friend and Jay had an affair or were having an affair, which caused the falling out between her and her best friend, not because she believed the rumors, but because the friend kept embellishing her own story through social media about
Got
the affair.
It. That's always the affair aspect is always the thing that goes, oh, okay, now I get it.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't care if you've been married 20 years, 50 years. That's whenever you throw that angle into it, it's like, oh, okay. So now I see it. It's not that you two are sick of each other. It's that one of you cheated on the other. Okay,
right.
I get it. But there's always like I see a story occasionally like this guy and this guy, New Jersey couple, 52 years filing for divorce. And I go, really?
Those never make any sense.
You spent 52 years with that person.
Well,
sticking it out just a little longer?
Is 10 years in Hollywood the equivalent of 52 years in real life?
I think so, yeah. I mean, God.
That's a healthy long marriage, right?
It is. That's
I mean,
exactly
they all
right.
can't be Tom Hanks, Rita Wilson, who get quarantined with each other in Australia.
There's always the trapping of fame, and then there's always the missed schedules where you're just not around each other enough and, you know, whatnot. But it seemed like they had something that was going to work.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, what's she going to do when he's posing naked on a different hotel balcony?
Let me tell you, I have to tell you about Jay Cutler on this show. I was impressed. I really didn't. I mean, I covered Jay Cutler when he got to Denver. I thought this guy said five words. Like, I mean, he was.
Well, he kind of gave off that persona on the show, too.
Well, that's true.
Anytime I ever caught it, I think was once in my life, he didn't really have a whole lot to say. She did a lot of the talking, but.
Still, the fact, like, he had the personality of a carrot. I mean, it was like, I couldn't, like, you would go, God, this guy does not want to do this, speak at all. Like, he really thought being in an NFL starting quarterback was throw passes, run an offense, and then get the hell out of the stadium as quickly as possible. Like, no obligations to stand in front and talk. He was hard. Now, there were guys I knew that really got him to open up a little bit, and I used to say to him all the time, like, God bless you, because this
like cutting this guy's tape was like impossible to get a decent quote. But this, but every now and then he would get on something that he would really want to discuss. And when he did, he was very good at it. But this show, when they told me he was doing a show with her, I was like, what? That's going to work. So God bless him. Too bad that that didn't work out. All right, so what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is Tom Brady is doing his best work to become the celebrity Florida man.
I know.
I really don't know what to... I mean, if you haven't heard, Tom Brady got busted in a park for working out because he can't work out at his house.
And then he realized he wasn't in New England where they would have just let that slide.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they gave him a ticket, but they did have to break it up.
No, but they did tell him to go home.
And then this latest event, he walked into a stranger's house.
He walked
into a stranger's house.
Because he thought it was Byron Leftwich's house, right?
Yeah, I guess the guy lives next door, but I mean, he just walked right in. Like, he just opened the door, duffel bag and all. I don't know, is he moving in?
So first of all, does Brady have a relationship so tight with Byron Leftwich that even if he found the right house, he could just walk in to the house?
I'm going to make the wild assumption. I know the phrase, what happens to you if you assume. But I'm going to assume Byron was just like, hey, I'm not there yet. Just make yourself at home.
I would hope so.
I'm hoping that's it.
I'm hoping that Brady doesn't have that self-importance level where he goes, well, I can just walk in.
Yeah.
But I would think the house would be locked or there was a keypad and they just said, hey, it's 2872. Just punch that in and you're good to go. But even then, how do you walk into the neighbor's house?
How did you walk into the neighbor's house?
The neighbor's house door was open enough that you just walked in?
Did you go around the back? Did you say, the back gate and I'll just let myself in through the backyard?
Exactly. And so this violated stay-at-home orders in the state of Florida.
It does.
Is it not?
It does. Well, they're kind of lax in Florida that's no big deal.
I get it.
But yeah, so I'm putting it out there thinking Tom Brady might become the celebrity Florida man.
That's right. Keep it up, Tom. Keep it up.
Too many things. You haven't been there that long. That's the problem.
He's already etching Tompa Brady on the stamp of every single thing he's done so far.
Everywhere he's going.
That's right. All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Monday. It is SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour, Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Quick question, in all seriousness, and we might have to elaborate more on this later. So what's the difference between Tom Brady walking into a person's house and Chad Kelly walking into a person's house? You remember Chad Kelly, the Denver Broncos quarterback?
Yes.
They got wasted on a Halloween party by Von Miller and then walked into a house. Kelly didn't do anything. Like, he sat down with him because he was wasted and he thought he was in the right house. But he walked in. He walked into to somebody's house and entered. Remember he was being chased out with a vacuum cleaner?
Vacuum cleaner pipe.
A pipe, yeah. He was chased out. Now, listen, I know there's certain different circumstances, right? Maybe Brady, it was an innocent mistake, whereas Chad Kelly just walked in, sat on a couch, right? But at the same time, man, like, Brady walked into somebody's house, like, just opened the door and walked in, right? And now the league is wondering, I saw a part where other teams are like, shouldn't he be punished for this by the NFL? This is a violation of a stay-at-home policy, and they're trying to snag Brady with some sort of punishment for breaking in. I think the people are the people of the house are probably thrilled. If I'm Brady, give them jerseys, tickets, whatever. Be like, soup, mop, my bad, whoops, sorry about that. I didn't mean to walk into your house, but I am Tom Brady, and I can bestow you on you gifts of fun.
That is a good question, though. I guess just because it's Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the only reason.
Kelly, it was a first degree criminal trespassing.
Of course,
when he walked in.
Tom Brady, it was a selfie.
With Tom Brady, it was just a mistake.
Could happen to anybody.
Try really. Doing that in another neighborhood.
I'm going to try it later on and see what happens.
I'll
get back to you in 2 to 3 years.
Exactly. Exactly.
Maybe less. It'll be my first misdemeanor.
By the way, Chad Kelly is one of my favorite stories I think we've ever done. You know,
just walking into a random house.
Such a bizarre story of this kid who was like drunk at Von Miller's Halloween party.
It's all Von Miller's fault.
And but he just like walked into a house. He just went, well, I think
this house looks good.
I think this is where I live. Click. And just walked in.
Or was he trying to get back to Von Miller's house and just forgot where it was?
I think that was the case.
Like he left Von Miller's house to go for a walk, probably needing some fresh air. Like, man, yeah. I shouldn't have had that last shot. And then, you know what? They all look the same, right?
See,
all
you the know, houses. When other countries go, you know, in our country, we don't even lock our doors. We're so friendly here. We go, yeah, because you don't have NFL quarterbacks just walking in the front door at any given moment of any given day.
Yeah.
You got to be wary of the wandering NFL quarterback that could just walk into your house just totally unexpected. You never know when that happens. In all seriousness, though, like, what if he got shot? Like, what if, you know, like, what if he
Brady?
Walked in?
Yes. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, if that happened to us,
yeah,
that's probably something that happened to be real. I mean, cops would definitely be called.
Exactly. But, like, what if the family just freaked out that somebody was walking into their house and the guy just pulled out a home protection weapon and just fired it at Tom Brady?
You want to know how bad it is? All right. I got another Tom Brady story for you.
All right, we'll come back with that on the other side because I'm now fascinated. It is Tony D. Rod Culvert is Wake Up Call. It's SB Nation Radio. Glad you can be with us on a Monday.